So what are you looking for? I know it's a kind of a rotten question. What are you looking for today? Why are you here today of all days? Why this place to spend this time? I know. Some of you are traditionalists, right? This is just what we do. Costumes on Halloween, green beer for St. Patrick's Day, hot dogs on the 4th of July, and church on Easter. Maybe your family has a rule. Maybe there's a mandate at your home. No church, no ham. That is the rule at my home. The kids are still under quarantine, so they get no ham. Later on, they were not in church today. They get hot dogs, which will make Richard just as happy, to tell you the truth. Some of you are here because you're always here. It's Sunday. You're here every Sunday. Today is no different than any other Sunday, except that we have a breakfast and somebody's in your chair. Because we're messing around with four services, right? I know. I can see those of you who are in a chair that doesn't belong to you. I promise you, the person who is in your chair is usually in that chair at a different service. But why are you here? What are you looking for? Maybe you're here because you're home for a holiday. Your family always goes to church on the holiday. Maybe you're here because this just feels like home. Maybe the church is your home, family home. There is something about Easter that reminds us of home. It reminds us of a previous day. We're getting a lot of nostalgia going on nowadays with big holidays because people are remembering how it used to be. And that used to be becomes more and more important in our psyches. But is it really a good enough reason? Sometimes, and I'm not talking about today, I'm not talking about church attendance, although church attendance is important, don't get me wrong. I am referring to the fact that sometimes we focus way too much on the world. The world really isn't as important as we think. Now, I'm not saying quit your jobs. I'm not saying sell your house. We live in this world for now. We are exiles in this world for now, and we need to continue to live as exiles. But we also need to make absolutely, certainly clear that we are indeed exiles. This is not our home. We live someplace else. We're here for a small time. Sort of like everybody from Ohio's come down here for work. They'll leave, I'm telling you. They're going to retire, they'll go back. I'm just playing Ohio people. Sometimes we think this world is all there is, as if it is truly our home. And while we may seem like a small matter upon the surface, really what it means is that sometimes we end up living like the women who were going to the tomb this morning. They go to look for Jesus among the dead. We seek him in his tomb. We look for Jesus among the dead because we focus on the tangibles. We focus on the disposable. We focus on the perishable and the mortal. We focus on those things that are not really ours. They never were. They're never going to be. Just think about my house. Most people, really, if you're talking about anything that's kind of yours, it's your home. There was somebody else lived there before I did. Somebody else is going to live there again someday after I'm gone. It's not really mine. I am a sojourner through this home. This earth is the same way. Sometimes we seek Jesus where he ought not to be found. We seek him among the dead. Scourged, beaten, stabbed with a spear, crucified, dead. Why in the world would the women go to the graveside to look for their Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, wait, I know. It's a trick question. They go there to prepare the body for burial. They had not yet understood. It had not dawned upon them all that Jesus had said and prepared them for. The rest of the crew are all hiding. They're behind locked doors. And chances are when Mary went to tell them that Jesus was missing, she probably had to rouse them out of bed. They were still sleeping. The women are up working for hours and the men are still sleeping. Isn't it like women folk? They go to the tomb because the tomb is where dead people are. They seek Jesus among the dead because death is the land of exile of mankind. Sin has made it so. Death is the enemy that we all face, COVID or no COVID. If we come back into this time next year and the COVID is just a distant memory, we will still be facing off with that enemy of death. It just won't be so much into our faces. And maybe we won't have as many masks. I don't think the masks are really going anywhere soon, though, to tell you the truth. It's true. We fight it, we deny it, but the reality of sin is death. Death is the land of exile. The grave is the wilderness home. And you can eat healthier if you would like. And you can work out more if you would like. And you can see the best doctors and you can eliminate stress, take your vitamin B, get in touch with your inner self, you're still going to die. In the Garden of Eden, man willingly brought sin into the world. And Adam didn't realize that sin was going to bring its partner death, and not the sanitized death of the American movie myths either, but rather brutal, agonizing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth death. It is the result of being separated from God. Death is the everlasting condemnation. Death is the suffering beyond all comparison. Death is the great enemy that no man can overcome. Our sin has sent us into exile, and we in exile are both exiled physically and spiritually. We are in exile with no chance of escape for ourselves. We have no hope of a return. A small wonder that we live as if this tomb of a world is all that there is, or the most important part. For this reason, Jesus sent his Son into the world. Jesus came to rescue us from this land of exile, to rescue us from our meandering life, to rescue us from death, hell, and the reality of sin itself. In this exile from which Christ has freed us, Jesus accomplishes what we had no hope of accomplishing for ourselves. By the cross, he has rescued, he has redeemed, he has restored, he has renewed, he has cleansed our lives. And yet we still have the tendency to live like the rest of the world. Jesus hung on a cross to bear our sins, suffering, bleeding, a holy death, dying as an all-availing sacrifice for our sin, cleansing us of all of our mistakes and misdeeds. He has conquered Satan. He has provided a sacrifice that is required for us, that sacrifice that cleansed us of our guilt and our shame. And for this, God has sent his Son. For this, Jesus faced death in our place. For this, Jesus was laid out in a tomb, lifeless, a lifeless corpse, but a corpse with a promise that he is the firstborn of the dead. A down payment upon that return from exile that God has promised his people. The women who went to Easter on that morning were not focused upon that promise. They were focused on a corpse. They went to see Jesus among the dead. They went to see Jesus amongst the corpses. They were living as if the grave was their home. It was the end of the journey. And the angel told them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen."
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The tomb was empty. The tomb was not Jesus' home. For 3 short days the grave did indeed hold him, but the grave was not his home. The grave was not where he was from. The grave is not where he was from. The grave could not be his dwelling place. The land of exile, Satan's wilderness, could not contain him because he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And do you remember, do you understand what this means for us? That if the tomb was not Jesus's home, then that tomb is not your home either. Because this is not where you are from. Your heavenly Father has adopted you. He has made you heirs of the heavenly kingdom. He has laid his hand upon you. He has washed you clean in the waters of baptism, fed you with his own son's body and blood, reinstituted the covenants of the Old Testament, and he is going to call you home and has promised that he will resurrect you. Your body will be resurrected and you will live with your God Almighty forever and ever. That is the importance of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus is that down payment because he did all the work on Good Friday. The work was finished on Friday. But they hadn't quite put it together yet. And when Jesus returns from the dead as the firstborn of God's new creation, they begin to slowly put it together that this world is not our home. Our home is with our God and Father, Jesus Christ. Our home is with our Father. Our true world is not our home. The tomb is not our home. This world is not our home. This world is nothing more than a dead stick. It is dying every day. We are walking in a strange land. We are living children on a journey. And our focus is not to the right, it's not to the left, it's not to be distracted by the glamour, not to be overcome by the pain and the weakness and the darkness and the shame. We walk with our eyes focused not upon the tomb, but upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. For he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Let us rise and pray.